This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The federal government working to keep renters in their homes is part of the battle against the coronavirus, and we're joined by Justin Sink, the White House correspondent for Bloomberg out of Washington. So, how is all of this working, and who exactly is protected by this?
Sure. So under the new order that was issued by the CDC, anyone who expects to make under $99,000 this year, or a couple filing jointly that makes under $198,000 a year, or somebody who got a stimulus check earlier this year, all would qualify for this. They have to sort of put an affidavit that they give to their landlord that says that they can't pay rent right now because of the coronavirus, says that they'll pay as much as they can, as things go forward, but that they would face homelessness. They lost their home. If they put everything in writing using the form developed by the CDC, then landlords can't evict them through the end of the year from their homes.
Justin, is there a sense about how long the federal government's willing to keep doing this? Obviously, they want to protect renters, but at the same time, there comes a point where perhaps you can't just keep doing this. Is there any thought about how long this might continue?
Yeah, so, this version of the order only extends to the end of 2020. And what Trump administration officials say is that there are lots of programs that landlords can tap into for small businesses, for larger businesses that can help offset some of the losses that they might be seeing. But, obviously there is a question about how long they can prolong a program like this. We've already seen the sort of broader negotiations on a longer-term stimulus deal break down on Capitol Hill. And so there's going to be a real question whether or not this can continue being extended further on after the end of 2020.
And the income level seems at first perhaps higher than you might expect, but was there a bit of negotiation on that in terms of where the cap was going to be set?
So I think, the Trump administration took this action unilaterally, so it wasn't kind of a back and forth with Congress. But what they are shading off of is the folks that they thought would qualify for help earlier this year. So if you remember the stimulus checks that went out a few months ago, those were at the same level. Folks that made $99,000 or less got at least some money through the stimulus program. And so I think that is sort of the cutoff. Folks that make more don't qualify. But what I think is also important to note is that even if you do qualify and even if you do sort of write that affidavit out, rent continues to accumulate. You continue to owe that to your landlord, and you're required to pay everything that you can in a given month. So while this, will help folks in the most dire of situations and could impact, the White House estimates up to 40 million Americans that would qualify under those conditions, deferring the rent is in some ways just deferring pain for a lot of folks out there.
And what's the likelihood that at some point down the road we might see either rent forgiveness or, and accompanying that, some kind of relief for landlords if there is rent forgiveness?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you're talking about a really large stimulus program. Obviously, the lawmakers on Capitol Hill are debating between $1 trillion and $3 trillion. So there is the possibility that could come as part of a package. But there's a lot of mouths to feed. The airline industry is doing poorly. The entertainment, travel, all these, different sectors of the American economy have been impacted. And so there's a real question of how you're going to start to try to make people whole as we kind of pull out of the recession. And if, you know, coronavirus comes back, there's a risk that all these issues get exacerbated further.
All right. That's Justin Sink, the White House correspondent for Bloomberg in Washington. Justin, thank you so much for your perspective on all of this.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, Francisco Cotto. I'm Jim Gooders. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden plans to visit Kenosha tomorrow.
This is Mike Krauser.
When it comes to automobiles, there's only one.
Remembering Bob Roorman.
In Personal Finance Wednesday, members of the Sandwich Generation face budget challenges from both their parents and their kids during the pandemic. Also on the finance front, making the most out of money you may have not spent on a summer vacation. WBBM Business right now on Wall Street. The Dow is ahead by 295 points, the S&P 500 up by 37, and the NASDAQ ahead by 64 points. We're expecting a mostly sunny high of 85 today. Patchy clouds tonight down to 67. Sun and clouds tomorrow with a high of 86. Right now at O'Hare, it's 80 under partly sunny skies. WBBM News Time, 12:31. Former Vice President Joe Biden will be in Wisconsin tomorrow, seen as a key swing state in the fall election. The Democratic presidential nominee and wife Jill will be in Kenosha, the site of unrest since the police shooting of Jacob Blake. The visit comes 2 days after President Trump toured the area and met with police leaders and business owners. One of the most recognizable voices and faces on Chicago radio and TV has died.
He was a character, the good-natured man behind the funny and quirky commercials.
Our inventory of new Hondas is piled high in July.
Ho, ho, ho! So we've made our prices low, low, low.
Bob Roorman got his start selling cars in his hometown of Lafayette, Indiana in the 1950s, initially using the phone book to cold call potential customers, and he would go on to establish 32 dealerships in Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin. He called Chicago home.
When it comes to automobiles, there's only one, Bob Roorman.
Bob Roorman was 87 years old. Mike Krauser, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
We return to the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park, and markets are mixed at the moment. We're joined by Gary Kaltbaum, the president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and Fox News Business contributor out of Orlando. So you can also check out, by the way, Gary's website at GaryK.com. And Gary, tell us what's happening on Wall Street today and why.
Of a major bull market, especially in the technology area. I believe it has a lot to do with central banks printing tens of trillions of dollars. Markets have loved that forever, and the beat goes on. And the good news is in the last 2-3 weeks, it's been broadening out a little bit. The economically sensitive names have been moving into new high ground. So I really don't have many complaints, except we're due to pull back any time, but I think the trend is up.
What do you think would cause a pullback? What are you concerned about right now in terms of I could turn things around here?
Gravity. You know, so the rubber band stretching too far. That's how much the NASDAQ has done over the last few weeks. You know, the old, I hate cliches, but the trees don't grow to the sky is true. But right now it's on the way there, and eventually something will give. But it's just very strong out there. And there's been some really good earnings numbers. Something like a Zoom came out with earnings yesterday, and they were just gargantuan for obvious reasons. And if more companies do that, you know, that's good for the market.
Now, tech, of course, has been sort of the driving force, as you've mentioned here. Zoom, just one of the latest examples. What other sectors are you seeing that are promising and could continue to keep stocks on the upward trend?
I like restaurants here. Chipotle, the strongest name, but others are starting to join. I can tell you some of the discount retailers, Costco, Walmart, and the Dollar General, very strong in here. And I'm not sure yet if they're going to get going, but financials are trying to, I think they're boiling underneath the surface right now. Nothing to do just yet, but if we get one or two good days out of here, I think the financials can get going.
Food service, restaurants, why that, especially as we're seeing a bit of a rebound in some places in terms of cases and infection rates of COVID-19?
I, I think, you know, I live here in Orlando, Florida. We're open halfway. I mean, you want to be open full way, but I can tell you some of these restaurant chains have done a great job with the takeout and the delivery. Names like Wingstop and Papa John's Pizza and Chipotle, these things are at all-time highs, believe it or not. So it's a matter of very good adapting to the circumstance with some of these companies, and I think there's probably more to go.
And you talked about
also, by the way.
Sorry about that. You talked about financials, wondering what it is about those that look attractive.
Well, here's the thing. They've been dead money, and they're dead money because interest rates are so low and their margins have been squeezed so much. But I'm thinking we may start getting away from that. I have the sneaking suspicion rates may tick up a little bit in the months ahead if that happens. I think the J.P. Morgan – actually, my favorite name is Morgan Stanley, but I think the J.P. Morgan and the Bank Americas of the world start showing up. But leave no doubt, to this day – tech is your best friend, and I suspect that there will be more to go, notwithstanding near-term pullbacks, which are due at any time.
Gary Kaltbaum, the president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and Fox News business contributor out of Orlando. And by any way, you can again check out Gary's website at garyk.com to get the latest on what he's talking about. Always a great source of information. Up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, the sandwich generation deals with multiple money challenges.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And it's Personal Finance Wednesday. And this afternoon, we're looking at how the so-called sandwich generation is facing extra financial challenges in the pandemic. And we welcome Craig Bolanos, the founding partner and chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove. So, Craig, it's the sandwich generation because a lot of folks find themselves as sort of the meat in that sandwich where you have the kids who are at home because of COVID-19, the adult kids, the parents who are in assisted care or in other ways needing your assistance, and you're in the middle dealing with that. So with all that's going on right now, what's some advice to help people out?
Well, I think it's really tough, and especially, as you said, Jim, in the year of 2020 with COVID, you put that many generations under one roof. The stress is so high, and I begin by reminding our listening audience that if you're thinking about bringing in care, if you're going to take care of what's oftentimes mom, thinking it's a year or two, I want you, the family, to be realistic, because time and time again, that concept of a stay for a year or two taking care of mom, it can last 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and all these stressors start to follow, not to mention the financial piece.
So how do we deal with this situation in the sense of what are some things that can be done, both in the short term and maybe looking long term, to try to improve the bracing on both sides so that neither side is pressing in too much and you've got a good space in between?
Well, I think I start first, and what we always talk about is this. I think all of us have a responsibility to do our very best to put those that we love in a position to be successful. So right now, I'm talking about myself. Right now, I'm speaking to my parents and everyone listening. Make sure your legal documents are in order, your powers of attorney for health care, powers of attorney for property. Make sure you have addressed when the time is right with your family, what you want your continuity of care plan to be. Who do you want to stay with? Are you going to age in place at home? And to the extent possible, work with dedicated professionals that can help you create a financial plan to utilize as much as your resources as possible so they go as far as they can before the stressors start becoming multi-generational. I think that's step number one, Jim.
All right. That's Craig Bolanos, who is the founding partner and chief executive officer of Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove. Great advice, as always. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And a reminder that Personal Finance Wednesday is sponsored by Mesirow Wealth Management. And still to come, suggestions on how to use the money saved by not having a summer vacation.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, many summer vacations have been canceled this year due to the pandemic, and let's discuss the best ways to use all that money you saved. We're joined by Mark Horner, the wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Wheaton. So it's been kind of a bummer, Mark. We haven't been able to go and have our vacations, but it's a great opportunity to take that money and do something really great with it. What are some of your suggestions?
Absolutely, Jim. And so, right, trying to make lemonade out of lemons, which is, I think, what 2020 has been for a lot of us. But I think it's a great opportunity to revisit your own financial planning and positioning. And so thinking about being prepared whenever we do have another move down in the stock market or if these economic difficulties extend into next year, to make sure that you're properly prepared with an adequate emergency savings, that maybe it's an opportunity to reduce debt, and really think about some of the activity that we've all been forced into in terms of eating more meals at home, going out less, that I encourage people to think about not just snapping back to those activities, that the less we spend in general, the stronger your financial plan is. And so to resist the temptation that if you've got a little extra money from a vacation that you didn't go on, to not necessarily spend it on something else right away.
You know, this is an opportunity to really retool and reprogram and reboot and really address a lot of the things, because, you know, normally we would say, I'll get to it. Here, you're forced to get to it. And at the same time, you're in a much better position to come out of this, perhaps with some better financial planning, financial thinking, ways to really improve your overall financial health.
Absolutely. And I will speak for myself, Jim, that our household spending has been down over, as you point out correctly, we're forced in a way to do that. But again, that doesn't mean that we should just return to the old ways of doing things. An important stat that behavior that I would just encourage everybody to try and avoid that I just heard this morning, and that is trading volume is up in places like Robinhood and Acorns, these online trading platforms, where I think some people are looking at the investment market as basically an easily access casino. Trading activity should really be limited. There's all sorts of data out there that says the more that you trade, the worse your returns get. So there's some activity that love to have people continue to follow, like spending less, but other activity like this increase in trading really encourage you to resist that temptation. So the stock market's not a casino.
All right, and give me just one thing. If you could have everybody listening right now do one thing with these unanticipated resources, either from not going on vacation or eating out less or whatever it is, what would be the one thing that you would want people to do?
So the one thing that I would love everybody to do is to look at the mix in their personal investment portfolio of stocks and bonds. Look at what that did back in the spring of this year, and really be honest with yourself if you're able to stick with your mix of investments. Sticking with your investments and not succumbing to fear when things go crazy like they did in the spring is the greatest contributor to long-term investment success. So make sure that the risk in your portfolio lines up honestly with the risk that you can take personally.
Mark Horner, the wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Wheaton. A reminder that you can find more information at fairhavenwealth.com. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.